Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
We are on our last installment of our three-week series entitled Add to Heart. Now, last Thursday, some of you, I know Justine, somebody said Justine, I saw Justine. So Justine's, she grew up in the States, no? And it was Thanksgiving, right? And so it's American Thanksgiving. I don't know if you've, I see some of us, or even our some of our church members greeting one another, Happy Thanksgiving. But it's actually originally, it's really an American Thanksgiving holiday. It was celebrated by the Pilgrims coming from England into the United States of America. And this was about in the 1600s. And so President Abraham Lincoln later on declared it a holiday, saying that, you know, this is something that we need to commemorate and celebrate every year. So every day ever since, they've commemorated Thanksgiving. And then the day after that is what you would call Black Friday, okay? Some of you are adding to cart in Lazada and Shopee, okay, the past few days because of that. But actually, some of us, di ba, parang we think, ano, bakit nga Black Friday? Why is it Black Friday? You know, we're not even Americans that we didn't really have Black Friday here. But originally, Black Friday, I don't know if you know this, it was actually a... It was to kickstart, to jumpstart the holiday shopping season. It was a time when all businesses would have all these different promotions to get people to shop so that they would be in the black, not in the red. Okay? And so that's why, thus, it was called Black Friday. And so this Thanksgiving holiday, or this Black Friday, CNBC reported that consumers spent $9 billion US dollars, okay, online, and 22% shot up in terms of online shopping during that particular day. And so our series today is not add to cart, okay, because there was a lot of add to cart activities recently, but add to heart. Jesus understood, and it was very clear that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is as well. In fact, what happens is he says that a lot of issues flow in life, and that's coming from our hearts. He understood the potential money has to take control over the throne of our hearts. There was a book by Tom Rath a few years ago. He wrote this book. It's called Are You Fully Charged? He debunked a myth that said wealthier countries have happier citizens. Wealthier countries have happier citizens. In other words, what he was saying, daily well-being and satisfaction. This is based on research and study. As many of you know, Tom Rath worked with Gallup poll. Daily well-being and satisfaction do not depend on accumulating riches or living in a wealthy family. This is so interesting, okay? Why? Because the research said daily well-being and satisfaction do not show any statistically significant increases after someone reaches a specific household income that provides daily necessity. So that's why it's important to find out and figure out where is that line, right? Once one has reached that basic level of financial security, making more money is unlikely to lead to better days. Interesting research data that we hear from Tom Rath. You see, sometimes not better days. When you have more, it becomes worse days because there's a lot more to think about, to take care of, to put insurance for, and all of that. So we think sometimes the more we have, the more wealth we possess, okay, the more worth we actually have. But we think that, you know, as your wealth increases, your worth also increases. And conversely, the less wealth you have, the less worth you have. But this research tells us this is not true. This is a myth. And so now we want to look at what the scripture says, because like last week, we talked about this. We don't worship wealth. We worship God with our wealth. The question is not if we have a lot of possessions. The question is if those possessions possess you. Right? And so the relationship we have our wealth determines the condition of our hearts. And so the study that we're going to get into today is in Mark chapter 12. We're going to talk about this. And let me give, before we jump into Mark chapter 12, I want to set the backdrop and let us know what is Jesus talking about here. The location was the court of women, right? The court of women, usually, if you see this in this diagram, the court of Gentiles would be the bigger one. Outside that whole rectangle is actually the court of Gentiles. That would be equal to about 10 football fields. That's pretty huge, okay? And then you would see the court of women right on the right side of the square, okay? That's the right square. That's the court of women, not because only women were allowed to be in that place, okay? But because that's the farthest that they can go to. Because within the beyond that, of course, that's the holy place, the most holy place, and the other places where the priests could be as they offer to the Lord. And this was the time of the Passover. It was crowded. There was no social distancing. You know, there were a lot of people. This was about Wednesday, 2 days before Jesus was about to be crucified, right? And so it was crowded. The setting was Jesus was giving an indictment against the scribes and the religious elite. They had, you know, these scribes were, they had religious functions, but they also had legal functions. They, you know, when there was a widow who would lose her husband, the estate, some of them would be taken care of. The legal procedures and papers were handled by the scribes because they had legal functions. But unfortunately, they were taking advantage and abusing the widows. And so Jesus understood this corrupt system and was not attacking, but giving an indictment against this system. And so now Jesus and the disciples were there. This was actually the last time that Jesus was going to speak publicly. Because 2 days after this, he was going to be crucified on the cross. So we'll go into Mark chapter 12, but let's pray first. Lord, thank you for your word today. We thank you that as we get into this narrative, Lord, I pray that you would hush our hearts to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. Lord, let it be not just a nice story to talk about, but let it be transformative so that our hearts will be changed after this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so Jesus, the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, he sat down opposite the treasury, okay, opposite the receptacles, the offering receptacles, okay, and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And so the word watch here was the word that meant to watch attentively, to take in some details, and to make sure he got all what was going on as he was observing. And so the people were putting money into the receptacles, and it's literally what they would do is they would cast the coins in so that people could hear as they would give. This woman gave, as we would hear later on, gave 2 copper coins, which barely made a tink, 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 tink. Okay? It didn't even sound anything, right? And so, people have many different reasons for giving, right? That's a picture of the receptacle, an example of it. And the main thing that people would go to, the reason why they would go to the temple was to worship God. To worship, and listen, when we worship, our worship service, the whole thing, the worship service that we have, every part of it is worship. Singing is worship. Giving is worship. Listening to the word is worship. The whole thing is a worship service. So it's not just one part is worship and the other is just listening or, you know, that's why last week we talked about this. This is not a watch party. This is a worship service. I know we're watching from home right now. So it's beyond just a watch party. This is actually a worship service. And so, people gave primarily, would give primarily because of worship, for worship. But there were those for different reasons, whether maybe that's out of reputation so that they can show people I'm giving a lot Some people might be because of obligation. I have to. That's why I'm giving. Others could be maybe manipulation. Lord, you look at me, Lord. I'm giving you a lot today. And so because I'm giving, then maybe you need to answer my prayer. Maybe kind of an exchange deal, right? But here, verse 42, a poor widow came and put him two small copper coins, which make a penny. Now, understand the verse previous, couple of verses previous to this in verse 40, talked about the scribes who were devouring the widows. Devour means to literally plunder them. That's what it's saying here. And so the religious officials that day were not helping the widows in need, but they were actually robbing them of their livelihood. And so let me draw out lessons that we can get from this narrative today. And so as we look at this particular scripture, let me give you three. Number one, what can we learn? God sees what man overlooks. God sees what man overlooks. And it has to do a lot with attitude more than amount. All right. God cares about our attitude when we worship Him. God cares about our attitude when we give to Him. God looks and observes. The way He was sitting down. Baka pwedeng gamitin ko to, Pastor Jeff. Nagamit mo na ba to? Diba? Kaya po. Diba? Jesus was sitting down. Nakahabol ba yung camera? Okay, so Jesus was sitting down with His disciples watching the woman, okay, and putting her offering in the receptacle. And so the same way, alright, it has, when God looks at us, He observes and sees beyond the external. You know, worship is more internal than it is external. God sees what man overlooks, okay? And He says, you know, He cares about our attitude. You know, BIR or the Internal Revenue tax people don't really care about our attitude when we give. Right, they don't say, oh, are you giving out of a grateful heart? Or they don't really ask us. As long as you give, that's good enough. Right? You know, they don't care about our attitude. They get an attitude if you don't give. Okay? But God looks at our hearts and sees what attitude we have. Right? And so now, this poor widow, the Bible says, has put in more. She literally put in less. But Jesus assesses her gift as being more. How can that be? Right? How can that be? Big gifts are actually noticeable, but Jesus saw what no one else did. Listen, when we offer our offerings to the Lord, when we give our worship to Him, He sees what man overlooks. Worship is in the little as much as in the plenty. Again, it's not in the amount. It's in the attitude of the heart. Some have given generously what they will never miss, while this widow has given extravagantly what she could never afford. You know, I was messaging our Cricket Abelio, who helps us with a lot of our development here in Victory, Metro Manila, and even Philippines. And she was sharing with us about somebody who invested and just gave to the work of campus ministry. This was probably some years ago, of house help. She works for, she's employed in a home, and she's a house helper, and she attends church. And she's heard about what God is doing through the campus ministry, and she wanted to give to the campus ministry. And one of the campus missionaries said, no, it's okay, just keep your money. Parang siguro nahihiya siya, or parang he feels embarrassed. You know, I don't want to take anything from you. I don't want to take something from you. And then the lady said, well, if you don't take my offering, you're actually taking away the opportunity for me to invest in the kingdom of God. And I thought that was what a posture and what a perspective, that we're not actually giving, we're actually giving back. We're not spending, we're investing into what the kingdom of God is actually about. And so that's the first thing I want to say. God sees what man overlooks. Number two, God's math is different from ours. Way different. Way different from ours. Verse 44, for they all contributed out of their abundance. Okay, everybody say abundance. Okay, out of their abundance, but out of her poverty, she has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Okay. Now, question, was it specifically the copper coins that God was impressed with? No, okay. I remember I saw a picture of one of our kids' church children, attenders, no, who gave copper coins. Ano ba yan? Mapapakita ba natin yan? Parang sabi niya, Dear God, Bible story says you like copper coins. I collected a lot for you, okay? Pretty cool, right? But what is the copper coins that the Bible is talking about here? Okay? It's what you would call a lepton, right? And so, if I can show you a comparative comparison of this, a denarius would be a day's wage. For us, it would be about 537 pesos here in the Philippines, right? And so, what would be a pruta? Okay, parang masarap, no? A pruta, okay? 1/64th of denarius, okay? 839, okay? A lepton with a half of a pruta, okay, which is 419, okay? And so that's how much she was giving to the receptacle. Two of those. So basically about 8 pesos or less than 9 pesos, right? The other gifts in the treasury that made a lot of noise as they jingled into the receptacle, but the widow's mites were heard in heaven. That we can give, right? And people will hear. But the most important ears that we want hearing when we offer is the ears of the Lord. You see, the bank of heaven is not preoccupied by the size of the gift. We're impressed with amounts. God's not. God is never impressed with size. The accountancy of heaven is distinctly different working from a different balance sheet. See, you think about this. How can 2 centavos be more than 2,000 pesos? How can that be more than 2,000 pesos? Right? That's why giving should be assessed proportionally. 2 cents out of 2 cents is a factor by one, is a factor of one. 200 out of 2,000 is a factor of a tenth. So if you think about proportionally, that's why she was able to give more as a result of what she did. 2 out of 2 is everything. 200 out of 2,000 is a tenth. All she had to live on. And the word live there is the word bios. What can sustain her, what gives her life. See, worship is first internal before it is external. Number three, and we'll wrap up with this one. God is pleased with sacrifices done by faith. God is pleased with sacrifices done by faith. She gave everything and trusted God to care for her after that. See, Jesus wanted his disciples to see this. Jesus wanted his disciples to see this lesson. The total surrender of self. I love what John Stott said. John Stott said this, her total devotion, which no one but Jesus would have realized, is the exact opposite of the Jewish leaders' religion, all show no heart. All show no heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, and this is speaking about the church in Macedonia. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. See, God is honored when giving is done in faith. God is honored when giving is done in faith. The attitude of our giving determines the value of the gift. Kian and Em were sharing the other day, or actually last week, about some of the students during the campus summit a few weeks ago. They challenged some of the students talking about, you know, there are others. Kasi, di ba meron tayong mga students ngayon there, because of online online school, they would work on their papers on a phone. Okay, some of them, they borrow each other's phone or even their dad's phone. So what they would do is they would type a 500 word paper. Imagine that. Or even 1,000 word paper working on a small phone, a small smartphone. And so they would do that. And so what Kian and M and the others, our campus missionaries, did was they challenged some of our students. And the students that they challenged were not the well-to-do, they didn't even come from well-to-do families. Some of them, they gave a few hundred. Some of them, one gave 1,000, but that person had to save it for the past, you know, she was saving for the past 3 months, right? And it took her a while, okay, to come up with 1,000. And after that, she gave the 1,000 to, so that they could buy tablets for students who don't have one. I think I have a picture of that. And so some of the students gave up milk tea or even buying their own things that they want for themselves, or some of their allowance they gathered up so that they can bless the students. Like, just think about that for a moment. When sacrificial giving happens, it actually honors God. Every spending decision is actually a spiritual decision. Let me end as we close our time. You know, I remember I was listening to an illustration about this. The guy called it not the cirrhosis of the liver, but the article was called the cirrhosis of the giver. Okay? And so let me read it for you. The disease cirrhosis of the giver was discovered in AD 34 by the husband-wife team of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, 1 to 11. It is an acute condition that renders the patient's hands immobile when he's called on to move in the direction of his wallet or purse. Okay? Hindi umaandarin, hindi gumagalo yung kamay. Okay? This strange malady is clinically observable in such surroundings as unobservable in surroundings like the golf clubs, the supermarket, clothing store, or restaurants. Some try to use a fake remedy, pointing out to other patients that income tax deductions can be claimed for giving. The best therapy, and that which leads to a sure and lasting cure, is to get the individual's heart right with God. This affliction is actually a symptom of a more basic need of the soul. The prescribed medication is frequent doses of Romans 12:1, offering your body as a living sacrifice. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, to deny yourself, pick up your cross. A dash of 2 Corinthians 9:7, which means, talks about cheerful giving. And swallowed with a heaping tablespoon of Philippians 4:19, understanding that God supplies our need through Christ Jesus. And so as I end today, I want to encourage us to remember that God is honored when we move in sacrificial giving, done by faith. God's math is different from our math. And then number three is that God sees what man overlooks. Going back to in the verse in 2 Corinthians, let me read that again. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. You see, worship is an overflow more than it is an obligation. When we understand all that Jesus did, all that we have is no longer all that we live for. When we understand that all that Jesus did, all that we have is no longer all that we live for. I love what Pastor Jure said. Don't let careers, goals, accomplishments set your value, because only Christ can afford your value. You know, because sometimes when you think about it, sometimes we're stuck at 10%. Well, we compute things and, you know, did I give more than 10? Is 10 enough? We're stuck at 10. Jesus gave his all and we're still stuck at 10%. Shame on us sometimes when we think that way. And that's why Paul says, Paul talks about gospel-driven generosity. Out of the overflow, Lord, you gave this, you gave your all for me. How dare I not give my all to you? Worship is an overflow more than it is an obligation. So as we end our time today, I ended up a bit early because I wanted the worship team to come. And I'm going to ask all of you to stand, and those of you who aren't at home, I want us to pray, and we're going to take some time to pray. So don't click out just yet. Don't check your notifications first. Don't check your text messages. It'll still be there after the prayer time. But I need us to focus because there are things that we want to pray for today. And so I'm going to ask the worship team, I'm going to ask it to lead us in worship. And as we do this, keep in mind, all that we have is Christ. And if He is all that we have, then all that you have is all that you actually really need. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, that worship is not an obligation, it is an overflow. That you see beyond what people see. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would set our hearts aright. Lord, all that we are, all that we have, all that we ever hope to be is really yours after all. And so we lift up our hands today and we say, we are yours. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you and we say, we are yours. Thank you, God.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.